Kay found a website that calculates a mom's monetary contribution to the family. And this was determined by region of country, of the country, and the number of children that that mother had. Our daughter has three children. Well, it was calculated that for her position as a housekeeper, as an interior designer, as a cook, a nutritionist, a tutor, a staff nurse, carpool driver, a laundry machine operator. That sounds real official, doesn't it? Event planner and my favorite referee. $121,000. That's what she should be earning. $121,000. That's more than I'm making. So I guess her job is more important. Amen? But, you know, we could even add to that list. That certainly is not the total in what a mother does in the home. This morning, I want us to look at Paul's instruction to children in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6 and see how God wants children to respond to the special mom and dad that he has given to them. And then also we want to look at Paul's instruction to parents. And this is also seen in those two portions of Scripture. Well, if you want to, or if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Colossians 3 and maybe put your finger in Ephesians 6. Our first point this morning is Paul's instruction to children or to young people. In this instruction, we're going to see what they are to do, what young people you are to do, and then why you are to do so. So we have a what and a why in our instruction, Paul's instruction to children. Notice verse 20 of Colossians 3. Paul begins by saying children. Now the Greek word for children is techna, and it's a general term. It is not limited to a specific age group. Rather, it refers to any child living in the home under parental guidance. And what are children to do? Well, two things. So the first is they are to obey. Children, Paul says, obey your parents. And we see this command here in Colossians chapter 3 and then in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 where it says again, children, obey your parents. Obey them in the Lord. Now the Greek word used here for obey means to listen under. That is to hear with attentiveness. In other words, there's a conscious listening. We haven't turned our brain off. We are still at home. Young people, you put your phone down and you really listen to what dad and mom are saying to you. You are mentally engaged. You know, sometimes you can hear, but you don't hear. And the idea here is you hear and you're concentrating on what you're hearing. Now, please understand, if you don't really listen, you really can't obey. The point is, you put yourself under the words and the authority of your parents with the intention of, I am listening for the purpose of obeying. Let me pause here and say, if you can go into the conversation with your parents with the intention that I'm going to obey mom and dad, what you're saying, you will listen attentively. If you come here this morning and you say, well, I don't care what Pastor Lane says, you're not going to listen. I mean, you're going to find things that will distract you for the next 35 or so minutes. But if you come here with the idea that I'm going to listen, you know, Lord, you have a message for me to hear. You will listen. You will pay attention. And that is the idea here. I am listening for the purpose of obeying. And since this verb obey is a present imperative, it means obedience is to be ongoing. It's to be continuous. You don't just start and stop. Young people, you don't just pick and choose what you will obey and when you will obey. You just simply obey. It is the pattern of your life. Now, Paul adds in Colossians 3, verse 20, that you obey your parents in all things. The only limitation here is if your parents ask you to do something that is contrary to God's word. They ask you to lie or to steal or to cheat. Well, certainly you don't obey your parents when they ask you to do that. And so you obey. And then the second thing, young people, you are to do, and this is the second what, and this is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, where Paul says, honor thy father and mother. Now let me just stop here and say, there's a reason why Paul says, first of all, to obey, and then he says, honor. You can never truly begin to honor your parents, your mom, your dad, until you're first obeying your mom and dad. And so that's the first step you take in honoring your parents. You obey them. Paul says again, honor thy father and mother. And honor means to hold your parents in the highest possible respect. It means that you love them, you regard them highly, you are considerate of their needs. And this is so important for when a young person grows up with a sense of respect and obedience to his parents, he will have the necessary foundation for respecting and honoring other authority figures in his or her life. And we're talking teachers, we're talking law enforcement officers, we're talking about leaders. One of the reasons teachers are leaving the classroom is a lack of respect from their students. You know, it's very hard to teach when honor, when obedience are missing in the classroom. I mean, how can you expect your teacher to be able to do his or her best when there's constant disruption? When there's constant, well, you know, it's like you fold your arms and you say, I dare you to teach me something. It won't happen. And so, young people, what are you to do? Well, two things. You are to obey your parents. You are to honor your parents. And then the reasons why. We've noticed what you're to do. Then the reasons why you are to do so really are threefold. Number one, Paul says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obeying and honoring your parents is not just pleasing, it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The Lord is pleased, young people, when you obey and you honor your parents. And what a wonderful motive to honor and to obey your parents. God takes delight in such living. He is gratified, He is satisfied when young people, you obey and honor your parents. You receive God's approval, God's smile, God's favor, God's grace on your life. Young people, you don't want to go through these years not having God's favor, God's grace on your life. You want these years to be the best they can be. You know, I think sometimes we think, well, I'll just kind of slide through this phase of life, but I'll do better the next time. You don't know if you're going to have a next phase of life. You need to be conscious of the importance of living today in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And that is to obey and to honor your parents. And then a second reason why you are to obey and honor your parents is because it's simply right. It's well-pleasing unto the Lord, and it's right. Children, obey, verse 1 of Ephesians 6, your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the right thing to do. It is right to be obedient. It is right to honor your parents. It is something that is correct and just and righteous. God says there is still right and wrong. Remember, Psalm 19:8 states, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Young people, if you want to live a life that has joy and rejoicing, if you want to live a life that has, if I could use the word happiness, it comes when you obey and you honor your parents. You know, sometimes you look at young people and they seem so unhappy. They seem so miserable. Well, young people, one of the best ways to enjoy this time in your life, to have joy in this time of life, is to be obedient and to be honoring your parents. I can remember growing up, I was always happiest when I was doing right. And then Hosea 14:9 adds, the ways of the Lord are right. And then the third reason why young people are to honor, to obey your parents, God says in Ephesians 6:3 that it may be well with thee. And here we see that God promises a quality of life. And then he continues, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And here we see the quantity of life. So there's a quality of life, that it may be well with thee. Then there's a quantity of life, that thou mayest live long on the earth. I mean, what a promise. Young people, please know, when you honor, when you obey your parents, your life will reach its full potential. Your life will have a full measure. You will live out God's will. God is pleased with young people who obey and honor their parents. Let me just say, young people, you want to be on the right side of God when you're growing up. I mean, why do young people think they have to sow their wild oats? You want to be on the right side of God. Now let me say one more thing here to young people, and that is, you often struggle in finding or trying to find God's will for your life. I don't know what God's will is for my life. I wonder what God has for my life. And you know, you continue to ask these questions, which are legitimate questions. Well, let me say, the best place to start in your endeavor to find God's will for your life is to do right today. It's to be in God's will today. And what is God's will for you today? And that is to obey and honor your parents. I've often said, if you want to know God's will, what God's will is for you tomorrow, be in God's will today. Because you will be making decisions today that will help bring to pass God's will for your life tomorrow. And so obeying your parents is really a good place to start to find God's will. And by the way, that's true when it comes to finding a spouse. You know, sometimes, maybe I shouldn't say sometimes, I think oftentimes your parents can have a lot of discernment when it comes to who you should marry, who you should date. All right, so Paul's admonition, that last point was free. I'm not going to charge you for that one. So Paul's admonition to you young people on this Mother's Day is, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I say, please your mother and the Lord on Mother's Day. You will be blessed. And then Paul turns to us parents, and he gives us two primary commands. And what are the two things that we are to do? Well, first, the first command is a negative command, and the second one is a positive. Notice the negative command in Colossians 3, verse 21, where it says, fathers, really the Greek word there can mean parents, provoke not your children. Paul is saying here, parents, in the process of teaching, training, disciplining your children, do not exasperate them. Maybe another way to phrase this command is stop nagging your children. Because two things can happen when you do so. Colossians 3 verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. To anger. We can anger our children. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, which is a deep-seated anger and a resentment that boils over in outward hostility, anger. And then the second response in provoking children is discouragement, lest they be discouraged, lest they lose heart. Lest they lose heart. You want parents to keep your children's heart healthy. And at this point, the young person says, well, what is the use? Dad and I are never going to be on the same page. Every time I open my mouth, every time he opens his mouth, we clash. We don't rightly commune. I mean, we can't even talk without one of us getting upset. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way it should be. Parents' wrath/anger, discouragement in our children's hearts are not what we should be causing, bringing about, producing. There is something wrong in this picture of parenting. Honestly, parents, if you cannot talk to your children without someone getting upset and discouraged, you need to step back and say, Lord, we need another approach here. What we're trying isn't working. So, Lord, show me how I can properly commune, rear my children without provoking them. And now let me just give you a list, and I know sometimes when you hear a list, you think, oh, how long is this going to take? Well, I'm going to go through these briefly, but this list of how we can provoke our children, I think, can be very instructive. First, we as parents can exasperate our children by overprotection, which means we don't allow our children to have any liberty. We have strict rules that govern every aspect of their lives. And consequently, we don't create in our young people, our children, trust. They simply never earn trust, the trust of their parents. Now, I am all for biblical standards, but they should not become a noose that strangles our children. I mean, remember, God's commandments are not grievous. God's rules of the road, properly administered, should not cause our children to rise up in defiance. And now, if that's the case, then there's a problem with the child's heart. But children like to know their parents do trust them to do right. And if we never give them that opportunity, then they never feel like they are earning the trust of their parents. So I say, let them earn some independence. You know, give them a test. Sally, I want you home by 11. And if Sally comes home at 11 or maybe even 5 minutes to 11, well, she's done right. There should be a certain reward for that. Sally comes home 5 minutes after 11. She doesn't earn the trust of her parents. Sometimes I wish we would have maybe practiced this in a better way. Second, parents, we can provoke our children by showing favoritism. And we do so by comparing our children in unfavorable ways. Calling one of our children the black sheep of the family is not a helpful thing. I mean that. We have five children and four of them turned out well, but then we have a black sheep in the family. That doesn't help the black sheep. You're trying to help the black sheep. Don't say, well, why can't you be more like your brother, your sister? Enjoy each child's individuality and temperament. I mean, God created each one in a beautifully unique way. Number three, we can exasperate our children by depreciating their worth. And often this takes place when we refuse to listen to what they think or what they're trying to say. You know, maybe their opinions, their viewpoints are just way off, but you know, we need to let them speak. But the problem is we don't give them a chair at the table. Remember, I had an uncle growing up, and he loved to say, children are to be seen, not heard. But every son or daughter at the table should know that they are free to speak. That what they say matters, contributes to the family's well-being. They need to know they can always share their hearts, that we love them unconditionally. You know, I think sometimes in raising our children, we're so consumed with making sure they do right, they do right, they do right, that we lose the understanding of that this child that God has given to me is a gift of His love to me, and that He is, that she is worth more than the wealth of this world. Don't have throwaway children. Don't give up on your children. God didn't give up on you. Some children don't learn as quickly. Some children, maybe they don't get it until they join the Marines. But God still loves them, and you need to too. Number four, we can provoke our children by setting unrealistic goals. Nothing they do is enough or is good enough. You know, if they got two hits in the game, well, why didn't you get three hits? You know, if you got five A's, why didn't you get six A's? What about this B, you know? And then too often we as parents want to live our childhood dreams through our children. Maybe we didn't excel in a certain area, but we think our children should. So if they can excel, if they can make that all-star team, then, you know, that's a feather in our cap. Can I tell you that that is an unfair burden for our children to bear? Maybe the ability is not there. Not all of our children are going to be the valedictorian of their class or the star quarterback or to graduate with honors. Maybe they can just graduate. We can just get them across the line. You know, praise the Lord, he graduated. Let me look at that diploma. Yeah, it's the real thing. Our goal should be, let me help you find God's will for your life. That is being a success. Number five, we exasperate our children by failing to show them love and affection. Parents, we must both verbally and physically, and I'm talking about a hug. A hug a day keeps the devil away. Amen? We need to communicate our love to our children. You know, I hear children say, my dad, my mom never said, I love you. They never showed me any affection. And you talk to the parents, say, well, my parents didn't show me any love. And well, why don't you break the cycle? Why don't you do right? Why should your children be deprived of love that you didn't receive? This love is unconditional. You just love. You just love your kids. And frankly, sometimes they aren't real lovable. But you still love them anyway. Sometimes they'll say things and do things, and you think, well, where did that come from? You love them anyway. When we were yet sinners, Jesus loved us. Number six, we can provoke our children by failing to establish certain boundaries, fences, rules for the road. And of course, here's the flip side of being overprotective. You know, we can be too lenient. We can give them too much grace, so to speak. But then, honestly, children feel insecure and unloved. Do you know, parents, that down deep inside, your children want certain boundaries and fences? Because they know in their hearts it protects their body and their soul. And so pray, Lord, help me to know where that balance is. Number seven, we can exasperate our children by undue criticism. Someone has written, and I quote, a child learns what he lives. If he lives with criticism, he does not learn responsibility. He learns to condemn himself and find fault with others. He learns to doubt his own judgment, to disparage his own ability, and to distrust the intentions of others. And above all, he learns to live with continual expectation of impending doom. End of quote. Parents or children should live in a positive, constructive environment. Two more. We as parents can provoke our children by neglect. You know, we don't take time for them. Remember what happened when David spurned Absalom's desire to have a relationship with his father. We're talking hate, rebellion, civil war. We don't need to be helicopter parents. But we do need to tell our kids by word and deed, you are very important to me. My time is your time. I am here for you. You know, maybe if our children sensed that, then when we instructed them, they would be much more willing to hear and to listen and to obey. Mom and Dad think I'm special. They love me. They care for me. You know, maybe I need to respond in a better way. And then one more. Parents, we can exasperate our children by excessive discipline. And here we find abuse. How often we parents say to our children that we would never say to anyone else. Which tells us we should never discipline our children in anger. How God lovingly corrects us is how we are to lovingly correct our children. Parents, our children really are like fragile flowers. They can be so easily crushed, or they can blossom far beyond our expectations. Sometimes I can recall, you know, who can make the best argument? Who can yell the loudest? We think, wins the day. Ladies and gentlemen, no one wins when that's taking place. If you have to yell to make your point, you don't have much of a point to make. And your kids aren't going to hear that point anyway. All they're going to hear is you yelling. They can be so easily crushed. I mean, I know with me, I can be very forceful. And I can recall just, you know, I'm going to make sure you see it the right way. They usually don't see it the right way when that's your way. Our children can blossom far beyond our expectations and again bring us untold joy and blessing. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Might we so rear our children that they really do become a joy and a blessing. And growing beautiful children requires that we heed Paul's instruction in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And here is the positive command. We're to provoke not our children to anger, to wrath, lest they be discouraged. But if you look at chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, bring them up, your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Here we find three powerful responsibilities. And first, there is gentleness. The idea is we nourish, we feed our children, which is what Paul is saying when he says to bring them up. When he says bring them up, he's saying nourish your children. One author writes, we let them be kindly cherished. There's a certain tenderness, there's a certain love in how we engage our children. My father expressed this love so well. You know, I think sometimes we get the, maybe it's just how depraved we are, but we get the notion, if I show my children too much love, they're going to take advantage of me. You can never show your children too much love. So we nourish our children. And in the process, or the right way we nourish our children, is that we nurture them, we train them, but bring them up in the nurture. This term means we discipline them in love. Everything we do as we rear our children is balanced with love. As we discipline our children, we bring them up, we nourish them as we nurture them. Proverbs 19:18 tells us, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or trained thereby. And discipline done in love, the writer of Hebrews is telling us here, produces practical righteousness, peace, well-being, and wholeness. Wholeness. And then third, we instruct our children in love. We nourish them as we train them, as we discipline them. We nourish them as we admonish them, as we instruct them, as we teach them. We place truth before their minds. It can mean to confront. It can mean to restrain. The Greek word for restrain in the Septuagint is the same root as for instruction or admonishment used here in Ephesians 6:4. And to properly instruct and admonish takes thought and time. And this solid discipline, this clear verbal instruction, all wrapped up in nourishing tenderness and love, is of the Lord. He is the key to the blossoming of our children. Meaning He stands beside us with His divine wisdom and strength and love flowing through us to our children. He ministers through us to His glory and to His honor. Raising children, moms and dads, can seem like an eternity when we are in the middle of it all. I think of those of you that have young children, those of you that have teenagers, those of you that have junior high children. Junior high children, bless your hearts. That's a tough time. But many times, parents, we are just trying to hang on. We're trying to survive. We're trying to keep our children from killing themselves or one another. We're just trying to, oh Lord, if we could just get through the day. Consequently, there are many sleepless nights. There are many countless running noses. Calls from the principal's office. Bad report card. But just simple bad behavior. And we look around, parents, we look around for help, and maybe our parents are hundreds of miles away. And we feel so helpless, and we feel so alone, and thus we cry, Lord, how long? I don't think I can make it. And then I think of you mothers who homeschool. That's another level of responsibility. I know, honestly, that you think, well, can their 18th birthday come soon enough? Let me say, parents, when I look back on the rearing of our three children, those 18 years seem like just a moment. And almost like a blur. Those 18 years pass by so quickly. God's grace is sufficient. As your day, so shall your strength be. And for you young people, I know you want that 18th birthday to come quickly. Rightly so. You want your independence. You want your freedom. You want to grow your wings. You want to fly. Parents, we should raise our children to want to independently fly. But please, young people, enjoy being a child. Enjoy this chapter in your life. You'll never pass this way again. And it's a very special and it's a very unique time in your life. You don't have to worry about bills. My Mondays are paying bills. Oh, I want to move out. I want to get my own apartment. Well, that's great, but with apartments come bills. But you can enjoy Awana, Vacation Bible School, the wilds. Oh, how I would love to be a camper again. Little League Baseball. And it only comes in this season of life. So enjoy it all. But even now, to properly embrace life to its fullest, young people, you need Jesus in your heart. You need Him as Savior. You need Him as Lord. For he can enable you to do right. He can enable you to obey and honor your parents. And parents, let's pray, Lord, use us to wisely, to lovingly, to properly, to effectively rear our children, not to exasperate them, but to nourish them, to train them, to instruct them, so that it will go well with them and that they will enjoy a long and blessed life. Might we pray, Lord, for our children and our grandchildren, that they will remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Children, you've just heard how to give your mother a happy Mother's Day. Live this way every day. Instructions to children and to parents.